Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Brett.
And welcome to a very special edition. This week we thought we'd avoid the news because not much has happened, I don't think. There was a Scientology documentary.
Yeah, and there was something happening somewhere with some Tories or something. I don't
Yeah, we'd
know.
done that last week. So this week we thought we'd do something a bit different. Instead of doing the news, we'd do something a bit serious, a bit highbrow. Yeah, which is a bit of a change from the usual thing, and it's also extra special because we've got a guest this week, Mrs. Hazel James. Can you say hello?
Hello.
And Hazel is going to be offering her opinion, maybe some interesting insights into what we've got to talk about. And what we've got to talk about is a very interesting philosophical, ethical dilemma, which was originally put together by Philippa Foot, prominent philosopher from the States, or sorry, she worked in the States, we decided to do this last week. Well, sorry, I decided to do
You
this last
decided to
week.
do this,
Yeah,
John, yeah.
correct. Yeah, I decided to do this last week. In an unfortunate coincidence, Philippa Foot died this week.
Well.
All right.
So, this is, as you said, Hazel, maybe we should do this as some sort of
Homage,
homage,
yeah.
yeah,
I feel like I should have prepared now, though, because now I feel like I'm not going to do it justice.
yeah, as usual, Steve did the his usual amount of research. See,
None.
none. No, he has read something, and I'm sure that his opinion it will be
Well,
insightful.
I just kind of thought that it'd be better to come into this raw and actually just give a raw opinion rather than having anything which had been influenced by any other school of thought, really.
Yeah, I like that, and I wanted to originally do that, but then I thought it was unfair on you because you might think I was picking on you or something, and
Well, you probably would be, wouldn't you?
putting you in a difficult position, and especially for Hazel, who's actually never done a podcast before, so obviously it would be a bit unfair on her to not know what she was signing up
No,
for.
absolutely, that's fine.
So I did my homework and printed it all off, and I've read it all, so we'll go from there.
Okay, so I'm going to do a little short introduction, if that's all right, just for the listeners, because not everybody is, into philosophy or has actually made any effort.
So you're already picking on me now,
Sorry,
you see?
sorry, sorry. That was an accident. Okay. So this is I don't need to read that actually. This is a kind of investigation into what they call normative ethics, which is basically is it possible for us to kind of think up of some rules which we can live by, so that whenever we're faced with a situation which requires us to make a moral choice, are we able to do it in some kind of structured, formal way, or do we have to go with our gut feeling?
Okay.
So the first dilemma that was put forward by Philippa Foot was there was a trolley. Obviously, it was American terminology. It's what we'd call a tram in this country, is going down the track, and it's going to hit five people that are, unfortunately for them, tied to the track. And this is a thought experiment where we're asked to imagine that we're there on the scene, and that there's a switch in the track, and that we're able to flick that switch and then take the trolley or the tram down another line. Unfortunately, in the thought experiment, we're told to believe that there's a single person tied to that other track, so that we have this dilemma, which is, do we in effect switch the track to kill one person to save five, or do we let it continue? It's a dilemma, obviously, and I'm sure if you try and mention this to people in the pub, they all try and think, oh well, maybe you can jump on the tram and stop it or something. Or, can we not throw a big cast iron thing on the track or something? Unfortunately, we're trying to
But you should kill everyone on the tram then, wouldn't you? Tram derails, it'll die anyway, so.
Yeah. So we're just trying to we're basically just looking at the moral dilemma. We're not actually thinking about this is a real
Practical
world.
solutions.
No, exactly. So, I'm going to pick on somebody. I'm going to pick on Hazel first.
Right. These five people that are tied to the truck, why are they tied to the truck? Just because
See
this
this
guy
right, okay, now
didn't
this is
like the look of them.
No, this is the thing. We're told that he's just an evil philosopher, or he's an
Yes.
evil
He's a
person.
vaudevillian type
He's just a
villain,
typical villain.
basically. You know, he's got
I remember
his
those.
wax
Oh,
moustache, his
he's
black and white.
and a cape.
Shirt on, yeah.
So basically, the context is there is no context in so much that you're aware of why this is happening. You've just arrived and you've got to make the decision. So with that in mind, what do you think of?
Then your gut instinct would say save the five people and only kill one.
Okay, because sorry, when you say your gut instinct,
mine,
you mean yours.
Mine would
we haven't mentioned the other person on the other track yet, have we?
Well, yeah, I did say. Oh,
yes, you did,
person.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I understood from what I'd read that the person on the other track was the evil philosopher.
No. Right. It's just another
then
innocent
you're
person.
Saving five people and only killing one.
Okay.
You're not doing it, but the tram is.
Well,
so you are
you
preserving
not,
well, life
you
by flicking the switch.
It. You are doing it because you're flicking the switch. You've made the choice.
Yes, but you're only killing one person, so you are still.
But what if that person is? Oh, preserving.
Hang on, save that.
You're still preserving five lives and only losing one.
So you think that you're going for the for the greater good. You know, there's five
if
people.
That's the only choice, and it finishes there. It kills the one person and saves five. Then I think you can justify why you flick the switch.
Okay. That sounds good to me. It sounds like, you know, you're saying, well, there's consequences.
Whichever way it goes, there's consequences, but there's less consequences if you flick it to the one rather than leave it to the five. Why would it kill the five? Why wouldn't it just stop on killing the one?
No, the one person on the track.
You're thinking too much.
You're just meant to take it as a dilemma. And they even say in the dilemma, it will kill the five, you know. I've read all the notes. So, Steve, what are you going to go for?
My initial reaction... My initial reaction would be like Hazel, just first off the top of my head, flip the switch.
Okay.
Great or good, let one person die instead of five people. However, it's when you start to look into it a bit deeper, then my opinion would change.
Right.
Because when you start considering who the people might be, that's when you've got to start thinking.
But we haven't discussed that yet.
No, exactly, so we'll come on to that. But at the moment, as it is now, the scenario is now, it's five people or one, I would make that decision.
So okay, so you would agree with Hazel in, you know, forgetting who the people are, like if one of them was Hitler.
Literally, I've just just turned up on this circumstances. There's five people tied to track. There's one person. I would flick the switch.
You'd flick the switch and change the original course. Okay, and in a way, would you think that you would have to accept some kind of responsibility?
Yeah, absolutely, because you know you're making that decision, so you are responsible at the end of the day, whether you like it or not.
I mean, not wholly responsible, cause...
but if you didn't do anything at all, you're not responsible because it's the person who set it
up. Well, no, exactly. I mean, that's what I was going to say. You know, I think my initial gut reaction would be, oh my god, there's five people going to die. Quickly change the tracks. Yeah,
right.
I don't think you'd have time to think about.
The why and what for.
The whys and what for. When you do start to think the whys and what for, my answer would change.
Yes, mine would as well.
It would. Well, you'd change it to you'd let it run them over.
My answer would be is, yeah, I'd let them run it over.
As Stephen said, who are they?
No. Well, I'm not saying who are they.
If I had time to think about it and look into it as to, you know, why they were there.
Like, check their wallets.
Check their wallets, right, to
you.
Surely
you could just untie them.
Exactly, yeah, you know. Who are you? Ask them, you know, into
have you got time to untie them?
No.
This is the dilemma.
It's a split-second decision.
And it's nothing to do with who they are. If we went and looked into who they are, okay, why aren't you looking into what will happen in their future? Because one of the five that you decide to save, their son could become...
Well, yeah, exactly. But it becomes a guessing game then, because equally by the same argument, the one person on the other side of the track, in his head at that very moment in time, could have the cure for cancer.
Exactly.
You know, you don't know. So you in some respects, then the safest option, you say, right, well, let fate take its course.
Okay, so you're changing your answer now.
If I had time to think about it, my initial gut reaction, if I turned up now tomorrow and saw this happening, I think I would probably flick the switch.
Right.
But when I think about it and start thinking about the consequences, I'm more inclined to say, I'll let fate take its course.
Okay. And it's not your responsibility then, because
well,
the
hang on, well,
who
I want
set
to,
it but, up
well,
in the beginning.
I would still disagree with that because, you know, in action,
you are a moral agent, as they say, and just the fact that you're there and to do something, some people would say that you have a moral obligation to do, you know, to make a decision if you can.
But then you could turn around and say, "I didn't start it. Nothing to do with me. I walk away."
And yeah, but you could take that attitude. But there would be some people that would say that
who
would condemn you because yes. you didn't.
But you're going to be condemned anyway. If you do that, you're condemned. And then if you flick the switch and kill one person, you become a murderer, and therefore they condemn you anyway.
Well, I don't know if you necessarily become a murderer. Because
yes, because you've set up killing that one person. Whereas initially, the tram is going down the track to kill the five people is nothing to do with you. You've just come on the scene and seen it happening. You can change it, but you then are responsible for killing the one person because you flipped the switch.
Okay. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but just to put in a correction, because I can be quite...
Yes, we know.
Because you're a pedant, John.
Because I'm a pedant, yeah. Murder is actually a legal term, which means that you willfully killed somebody, but...
You premeditated it,
like malice involved. I wouldn't say that that's the case here, because...
It's more of a manslaughter.
It's more of a kind of...
You've still killed somebody, whichever way they
them,
say
but
it.
You didn't necessarily murder them, you killed them.
All right, you killed them.
John's a language Nazi.
Yes, fine.
I'm not a language Nazi, I just think when you're trying to make a point...
By flicking the switch, you kill
right,
that one
okay.
person.
And you are responsible for that.
That person's death.
Yes, by leaving it alone, it is not... You've seen it happening. Yes, you can change it, but it's not you that can be accused of doing anything.
I mean, ultimately, the evil philosopher or whatever his name is, the person who set it up, is going to be responsible for death.
Yeah.
You know, it's not you solely, but, you know, you just have to acknowledge if you are going to take an action,
or you have
in some
to take
cases,
responsibility
take no
for
action.
That action.
Well, yeah, exactly. Look, you know, there are consequences for your inaction. Because, you know, at the end of the day, five people are going to die. You know, that is...
And if you hadn't been there, they would have died anyway.
Well, yeah, but, you know, when you are there and you've got the opportunity and you've got the power to make a difference, then, you know, yeah, because, you know, obviously the whole philosophical question starts off initially. There's five people on the track, you pull the switch, save them. Yeah, you save them, that makes sense. What if there's one person on the track? Well, then that's when the moral question starts coming in, and it grows on from there. And like I said, you know, I think on reflection I would be inclined to say, well, I'm going to let fate take its course. Because you just don't know. You know, you don't know why those people are tied there, you don't know who's tied there, you don't know who they are.
But do you think that's not overcomplicating it? I mean, if it was just put to you that you have a choice of either...
Like I said, if it was put to me and I just had a choice, I think I would probably flick the switch.
Oh, okay. I would definitely flick the switch, because you're preserving five, killing one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in that situation, if I could actually make the decision, though, to knowingly end somebody's life.
Well, there is that.
Which is what you'd be doing. By taking that course of action, you would knowingly say, you know, you're knowingly...
By leaving it going where it is, you're knowingly going to let it kill five people, although you didn't set it up.
But why do those five people have more of a right to live than the one person who's you've condemned to die?
You don't know that, no.
So you wouldn't go just on the basis that, well, there's five people, and that's five times more than one.
Mm.
Perhaps, you know,
I would. That's
in
my
your initial reaction.
Initial
reaction.
Might, saying, yeah,
you can
in,
find
in,
out
yeah.
who they are and all
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, initial reaction. Like I said, that's why I say I think, because I honestly can't say exactly what I would do. I would think that I would save the five people rather than the one, but I'm not sure I would be able to make that decision.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's just you know, it's what you think you do at the time. If you try and the whole thought experiment is not to use any information apart from what's in the experiment. So I think trying to say, well, it depends who they are is not.
Yeah,
it's not fair to the,
you're not
what
faced
the experiment is.
With that
no.
in the very
so
initial
to
thing.
To the experiment, like I said, okay. The initial gut reaction is, I think that's what I would do. But what would you do? Because you haven't had your thoughts.
Well, I,
yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I was just making sure that you both gave an answer and that you were going to stick to it. I would, and I don't know if I'm going to. No, I'm not playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, right.
At all, but I would not throw the switch, okay? Because I don't accept, in this instance, I don't accept that. I don't accept this idea of duty, that I have a duty to make that decision. I don't accept that premise. So
you would watch five people die by being run over by
a
tram?
I don't know if I'd watch.
Well,
like,
you're
like
just
going to
walk away and pretend you didn't know anything
crack,
about
crack
it.
Open a can.
No. I
biscuits.
I just think, because knowing who I am...
Yes, we know who you are.
Yeah, I'd just be thinking, if I flick that switch, how consistent would I be? So I'm just going, for the sake of argument, but I would... I can see the initial reaction, and Steve's probably thinking the same as me, so, you know, I'm not going to grill you over it, that, you know, okay, maybe if you just look at it in terms of 5 versus 1, throw the switch. I just don't accept it in terms of numbers at all. And Steve's probably going to grill me at some point, because I've mentioned consequences before and how important I thought they were. But I've also previously said they're not everything.
Yeah, well, no. I'm kind of in agreement with you. That's what I mean. I don't know what I would do exactly. Mm. I think I'd flick the switch.
Yeah,
but I don't know, because exactly what you're saying there, you know, it's just.
Well, there's multiple schools of thought on this,
here,
and a lot of people agree with you.
Deciding to do nothing would be considered as an immoral act.
If you subscribe,
but
to,
yeah, by whose standards?
If you subscribe to the idea that
because
by...
it's like I said, who says that those 5 lives are more important than the one?
If you know who the 5 people are, and if you say...
I think without even knowing who they are...
Without knowing who they are, though...
I still think...
But what is the value of the 5 over the 1? Without knowing anything about them,
right,
knowing who they are, why do those 5
somebody,
people deserve
somebody
to
has
live
felt justified
and that one person deserves to die?
To tie them to the track and to
well,
run
no,
them over by a tram.
It's just a nutter. It's just an absolute random nutter has picked 6 people... Tied 5 to 1 side, tied 1 to the other side. There's no rhyme nor reason.
And then
for
running
it
to Tesco's to get you to come out there and
I just
help him.
I happen chance walking
yeah.
past.
And why
which
you
probably
walk
isn't
anywhere,
probably isn't just go. Which probably isn't lucky for the 5 people tied at the train track. Because by the time I've emmed an art over to what's going to happen, they're going to be
dead anyway.
So,
okay, well, we'll move on to the next one, because this is the interesting one, I think. Okay, is so we're going to change it around a bit now. You've got the 5 people on the track, but we don't have the switch anymore. We have a bridge over the track, and there is somebody who is somebody who hasn't been jogging for a while. What they call
the fat man.
They call him the fat man. It's very politically incorrect. Personally, I'd call it the horizontally challenged man. But so he's sat on the end of the bridge. You know, he's probably just, you know, he's on his way back from the pub or something.
Playing pool sticks, is he?
Yeah, what's that?
Not on a train track.
Oh, no, he wouldn't be. Well, there's a river along the wrong side it.
Oh, no, okay.
Have you ever played
pool
sticks?
Drop a stick off the one side of the bridge and run
and watch
over
it run
side
over
side
to see
yeah.
go under the
what's
other.
It, what's, it, that, what's that got
Winnie
to do with
Pooh?
Oh, okay.
You've never played pool sticks, John?
No, I played it with rubber duckies once.
Oh, did you?
It was like a charity thing.
And did your duck win?
No, I couldn't even find it. He was the only sub-aqua duck I've ever met. So you got the fat man. And if you push him off the bridge, he'll get in the way and he'll stop the trolley and he'll save 5 people. Now, here's the question.
Will he die by being
yes,
pushed
yes,
off?
Yes,
all right,
yes,
okay.
He will.
Oh, he goes in front of it. Yes,
so
okay.
It's the same thing. It's the one guy. It's 1 versus 5 again. Would you push him off the bridge?
No, he's an innocent bystander.
Well, so was the one
person. So was the one person
tied to
the track.
They tied to the track anyway.
So is that the only difference for you? Is one person was tied up and the other person wasn't?
Bear in mind that one person's tied up and they're not going to be hit by the train. If it kills the 5 people. So the person tied up on the single track by themselves would be totally safe if the 5 people were hit by the train.
And to be fair, all 6 of them are innocent.
Yes.
So.
But by pushing the one guy off to stop the train, you are creating an act to kill him. You are physically
but you are
pushing him to kill him.
As well.
You're not, because you didn't tie that person to the track.
Yeah, but that's
your action kills them by flicking the switch.
You're still making the choice to flick the switch. It's still a physical choice to do that. You've got to flick the switch.
You basically said, right, here's a situation. I can either choose 5 or I can choose 1. Mm. In the first instance, you chose...
Yeah, but somebody's going to die in that instance anyway.
No, no, we're not judging you. This is just the fun of the dilemma. Okay?
No, I am judging you.
But you chose, in the first instance, you chose to sacrifice a person to save 5.
Mm.
Well, you are doing the same thing by pushing the fat guy.
Yeah, you could be consistent because you're pushing the fat guy off to save the 5 people.
But you are physically... By somebody being tied to the track, whichever one you did, somebody dies anyway. And it's the same thing here, but you are physically pushing this person in front of it. Is he going to die of a heart attack in the next week anyway? Then
yeah,
he can go.
No, but it's exactly the same thing as the person on the train track, because that person on the train track could suffer from a heart attack next week. There's no, as far as I can see, difference whatsoever in the person tied to the track and the fat man on the bridge. Absolutely no difference
well,
whatsoever.
Well, there's just the psychological difference.
The psychological difference.
Maybe
the end of the day,
pulling a lever is easy, but maybe pushing somebody and actually...
Because you're removed from it, but the consequences of your action is still
gonna
exactly
be the
same.
Yes.
They're identical.
So,
providing you push him at the right time and he does land in front of the train to stop it. If your timing is wrong, then he's going to die because
so
he's going to hit the train and then the other 5
and everyone on the train. Good times.
If there was ever a time not to think outside the box. So, Steve, what are you going to go for?
Leave him there, I think.
So you're going to be woefully inconsistent.
No, because I said last time, I said, initial gut reaction would be, probably took the switch. Initial gut reaction, maybe, push him off to save the fight. But actually, I don't know what I would do. Genuinely.
I know you wouldn't know what you're going to do in reality.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Even now we're discussing this problem, I don't know what I would do because I wouldn't like to be someone's judge, jury, executioner, essentially, which is what you're saying. And I'm thinking from my own point of view, I'm not sure I could make that decision.
Okay.
To sacrifice one person for five.
Sorry, whenever I ask what do you want to do, I mean, just go what your gut reaction is, what you think is the moral choice, surely.
I don't know what the moral choice is because, like I've said, how can you choose whether five lives are more valuable than one, whether one life is more valuable than five?
You've said that basically if you're willing to throw the switch, then you may as well be willing to
push the person off. Absolutely, right. Yeah.
Okay, so
what would you do?
Sorry, I would. Well, I'll stay consistent. I won't push him off. No. Okay. So now, we've got this slight complication. Okay, we find out that the fat guy is not just a fat guy. He's also the person that tied the people up, and he's actually just sat there going, ha ha, I'm going to watch these five people die. Yeah, he's doing his evil thing. So, and he's congratulating himself, thinking, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Five people are going to die, yes.
Yeah. But you could get one up on him. You could push him onto the tracks, he would die, and you'd save five people. You'd be killing the villain and saving five people. So, Hazel... I was going to say, actually, not go Steve first. Hazel would push him off. Okay.
If he's a villain, then he is of no use to anybody. He is just out to make himself feel good by killing five people for whatever reason he decides five people have to die. As you said earlier, he's just an absolute nutter. So what good is he to anybody? So yes, I would push him in front of the track and I would go, and watch him be hit by the train.
Okay.
Watch him go splat.
Before I ask you, Steve, I'll just ask your side question.
Yes.
Do you believe in capital punishment? Do you think it should be brought back?
Yes.
Okay, right. I was just wondering, that's all. Steve?
This is a real, real difficult one because I know where you're going with that because I don't believe in capital punishment. And, but in this circumstance, to save the lives of five innocent people, then my gut reaction would be to push him off. But I know that's not consistent because I don't believe in capital punishment.
That's okay. That's all right. I'm not going to be consistent on this either. Mine is going to be something even more horrific than you think. So don't worry about it. Okay, so you're both just vindictive people, aren't you?
At the heart of it.
There's justice in that, though, because he has done an evil act by tying these five people to the track.
Isn't justice? Doesn't that involve maybe analyze? Justice sort of implies that you're going to analyze things a bit more.
Self
get a
justice.
Jury in. Maybe he's crazy. Should we be killing crazy people? Is it their fault?
What good is they to anybody?
We may as well just go and round up all the crazy people.
That's an argument for euthanasia, isn't it?
No. I don't mean it that way at all. But if this guy is mad enough to want to kill five people just for the get the kick out of it, then I'm sorry, he deserves to die in that instance to save the five people that he's just picked on at random.
So do you think in general people who murder are deserving of death?
If it's categorically 100% that they did it, yes. Because with the DNA testing and everything that they have these days, they can prove without any shadow of a doubt that that person is guilty of killing that person. What is the point of keeping them in jail for life, which is costing the taxpayer God knows how much money? They do degrees, they go up in front of an appeal board every 8 to 10 years. And what for?
Okay. From my point of view, you've put this in my head, Hazel, as well, with your references to Monty Python. I mean, every sperm is sacred.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephen, they have the right to life, providing they do not kill somebody else.
So you're saying they forfeit that right when they do it?
When they kill somebody else and they have deliberately gone out to do it because they get a kick out of it, which is inevitably, unfortunately, is what happens a lot of the time when you read any of these things.
I agree. I just don't agree with capital punishment, to be honest with you. I think if it was an initial gut reaction, I knew that my actions would save those people, and yes, he would inevitably die as a result of it, but he was the perpetrator of it. Yeah, I probably would push him off.
I mean, you were going to push off as a gut feeling, just a normal fat guy anyway, regardless.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't want to do him after. Yeah. Okay.
No, I wouldn't do the normal fat guy, but I would
do the villain. That's what I was saying, because I said, I just don't know what I would do, because it's the same as the person on the track. Mm. With the actual villain fat guy, I, like I said, thinking as a gut reaction, if I thought, yes, he did that, or if I knew, yes, he'd put those people in, but pushing him off would save those people, then yes, I would do it, because that would be the consequences for his actions, I suppose. But it doesn't make it right.
No. Okay, and just to go back to something you said, Hazel, about some of these murderers, the drain on the system. Do you think that's a good reason to off people if they are a terrible drain on the system?
It's not just for that, though. It's the fact that they have deliberately gone out and killed somebody. It's been proven 100% that they did it. There is no doubt at all. If there's any doubt, then no, it shouldn't happen, because so many people have been jailed for life and have been pardoned later on and all the rest of it. But we're either, not even necessarily if they confess to it, because some people confess of it just to get the sensationalism of it. It has to be DNA tested. It has to be proved 100% that that person did it. Then I don't see the point in keeping them alive.
Well,
but what
I
about
kind
the
of
small and it is a very small percentage, in it, admittedly, that the DNA testing is wrong.
Yeah, I was just going to pick up on that.
Because
I'm glad
there is, you know, DNA testing is
not
infallible.
It's not 100%.
Twins is one of the things with DNA.
Yeah,
we
but it's not 100%. So
DNA testing
in crime is not 100%.
No, but I'm saying DNA testing does.
Yeah, but you could still get the wrong person. That's the point, yeah? You could have what would be an absolute bang-up case with DNA saying, yes, that person was there, yes, that person did it,
but
actually
if they
DNA
are pleading innocent as well.
No, hang on, sorry. I was glad you picked up on the fact that there are some people that confess when they didn't actually do it.
No.
So I think that's important, because a lot of people say confession, open, shut case, right?
Yeah.
But the fact is,
particularly if they're mad as well.
But the fact is that even DNA, although it's like 99.9%, it is not 100%.
No.
And so I think
but the circumstances of where they were at the time, did their life pattern prove that they were there? I'm not going to actually name anybody, but there are quite a few in the last 20 years, probably more than 30 years, that they say, yeah, he definitely went from here to there, or she did this, did that, and it's been proved because they've told us where the bodies are and all the rest of it. And yeah.
Well, I just don't support capital punishment out of principle. And we're actually getting capital punishment into a podcast because we recorded it once, didn't we?
We did actually, yeah.
Yeah. And then Steve lost his sound file.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
Yeah. I just as a matter of principle, I don't agree with capital punishment at all. Just because it's just a barbaric at the end of the day. If you value life enough to say that murdering people is wrong, I can't, and I think Steve agrees with me that state-sanctioned murder is just as bad.
It's still murder. Yeah. It's still snuffing out somebody's life.
So, but, you know, we're here to disagree.
Yes. So if he's the villain, we'd all push him in front of the train,
wouldn't
we, John?
No,
John wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I'd still not.
And like I said, I think if I ran up and my initial gut reaction, because, you know, I think
he's there laughing, going, five people are going
to
die.
As a human being, I think, you know, and John's obviously some kind of robot or something, but I think as a human being, we're naturally predisposed
to save
to save life, but also to a sense of justice. Mm. You know, whatever that may be, we've got our own inbuilt sense of justice.
Retribution would be, you know,
a better word, thank you. So, you know, you'd just be like, well, instantly you say, right, okay, well, he's put those five people there, and he's done it, and he's stood there, and if I push him in front of the train, he's going to save them. Yes, I would say I would probably do it, but, and this isn't consistent, and I totally appreciate that, I don't agree with capital punishment. Because when you think about it rationally...
But that's not capital punishment, because
you see that initial push, yeah? But at that point, that initial push, he hasn't actually done anything wrong, because he hasn't actually killed
anyone. He's tied five people to the track to kill them.
Yeah, but he hasn't actually killed them.
Yeah, he's only tied them. Well,
he's only tied them to the track.
False imprisonment.
But they will.
They will be killed
by his actions of the train coming down the track.
By that point. By that point, they haven't been, and maybe act of God comes in, the train.
As you said, getting Jenny Agutter to go on the track with the big red niggers would stop the train, and they wouldn't get hit.
He would then face the crime of attempted murder or whatever.
But then he wouldn't have died anyway if you'd pushed him over the track, because he'd have broken a leg.
No, but that's not my point. I'm kind of getting sidetracked there, is that he's retribution, I think, is an inbuilt human emotion, I think. And
it can be a viable form of justice as well.
Yeah, and I just think my initial reaction would be to follow that response and go, right, okay, I'm going to push him off, I will save those five people, he's put them there, that's his fault. But then when you consider capital punishment, and you actually take time to take the emotion out of it and actually consider it rationally, that's when I would say, no, I'm against capital punishment, which I know isn't consistent, but that's my sort of justification for it, would be that I think my initial response as a human being would be, I'm going to save those five people, and it's just pure emotional response, bang, he's gone. But then in retrospect and in hindsight, I'd be like,
I have irrationally thought about capital punishment, and I still think
who am I to be, judge and jury to that person who at that point hasn't actually committed a capital crime?
Apart from tying these people to the
which
track.
Isn't a capital crime.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
So I just want to recap.
So you still wouldn't do anything? You would let the train go and kill those five people?
Yeah.
John?
Yeah. I'm sorry, my ideals say that I cannot choose that one life over those five. And even though you may...
Even though he's going to sit there going, I killed five people.
I don't agree with this duty which has been thrust upon me, which says that the moral thing to do is to necessarily kill one person to save five. We're going to move on a little bit. You may as well just give up on your notes, Hazel. I know where I am.
You know this thing inside out and backwards.
I didn't need notes.
I've never seen it before.
Okay.
Neither did I, by the way.
Oh, yeah, shut up. You said earlier.
You're not having my notes.
So, here's another question. And I know what Steve's answer is going to be. It's why, sometimes our podcasts are boring. He's going to probably agree with me. So, what happens if we change this around quite a bit? Okay, so let's get rid of the train tracks temporarily. Or permanently, we'll see.
Are you going off the...
He's not following that.
Now.
He's not following that. Get rid of that.
No, it's just
not going to help you in this bit, is it?
Can't help you, okay? You just got to tell us what you think.
Okay.
So, all of a sudden, the police bring in a man, okay? He's a known terrorist, and they know for a fact that he knows where a nuclear bomb is planted in the city, okay? And this bomb is going to go off within the next 12 hours, and it's going to kill thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people. Okay?
Call Jack Bauer.
So...
Who's Jack Bauer?
24. He saved cities from nuclear destruction.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
By torturing people.
Okay. All right, so they call Jack Bauer. Do you think that he is justified, Jack Bauer, in torturing this guy to... reveal the location of this bomb, which will save tens of thousands of lives? It's Tokyo. It's like there's everyone packed into this tiny place. It's going to kill loads of people. Do you think it's the morally right thing to do to torture him? Or, knowing that he's a hardened terrorist, perhaps bring his family in and torture his family in front of him to get the location of the bomb?
So you would... You wouldn't torture him, you would torture his family.
Okay, okay, all right, let's start with torturing him.
Start with him and leave the family out of it for now.
Probably, from looking at the logic of why these people are terrorists, they wouldn't tell you anyway.
Okay, so they wouldn't tell because they're hard, all right? But okay, just going with... Basically, let's just imagine that if you do torture him...
I think even, it is a fact to say that even the hardest of persons will be broken eventually by torture. Particularly repeated and sustained torture.
Let's just pretend the choice is either torture him and save 10,000 people, or...
Don't torture him and 10,000 people die.
Yeah. So let's just look at that as the choice. Which one would you pick?
You'd have to try and find out from him where
but
this
would you
bomb
find
is.
Out with your elbows and maybe a knife and or
there's ways of doing
waterboard?
It, you know, pull his toenails out or something like that. They reckon.
All right,
that's
so you're
torture.
You're for the torture then?
I think so. I think I'd go down the logic route first and sort of say, you know, 10,000 people are going to die, but then you didn't give a toss about that, otherwise you wouldn't have set the bomb there in the first place. You'd have to sort of go quite hard on him, and yes, you probably wouldn't end up torturing him.
So you and you'd think that'd be you'd be justified to torture him. We're not. By the way, this is just just give us what you're saying. We're not judging
yes.
you. We're just
yes,
yeah.
I think so because as you again, it's the 10,000 people, but not just the consequences of 10,000 people dying. It's everybody else that has to go into the wreckage of that place where the 10,000 people died and trying to preserve life. Some of them get killed as well. So you're looking at more than that, really, aren't you?
Mm, yeah, it's going to affect a lot of people. Steve, what are you going to go for?
I'll hold him down, you pull him out.
Well.
I'm a nasty person, really.
If I knew 100%
that they know that he knows.
Then yes, I would torture him. I have to be honest with you. But generally, I would have to. I argue against torture because I know that torture actually is an effective tool of getting information out of somebody because people will say anything to stop the pain.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So he would lie just to get you off his
back.
Yeah,
and that's a standard thing. That's a known fact about torture.
But even
if I knew 100% that by torturing him,
he'd give us the right answer.
He'd give us the right answer. Yes, I would torture him to save 10,000 people. But generally speaking, no, because torture is not an effective method of getting information out of anyone because people will just lie.
But why
just
did
to
you
stop the
pick
pain.
On Tokyo?
Well, just a random
just because
place.
One bomb, which
is a
lot
densely
people.
Populated.
I could have
place.
Said New York.
Because
you know,
the Japanese
dense.
Were the worst torturers ever, weren't they?
Controversial.
It's not. It's known fact. It's written in history.
Yeah, well, you
people
know,
well, they were renowned for
people who went
their,
to the Japanese
and they did have to apologise.
Yeah,
well, I wouldn't
camps
necessarily
never came
say they
back,
were the worst in
them.
History. I mean, I'm sure that the KGB
well, they were
the
worst
and
known
the
in history,
CIA
then, I should
and
say.
British Secret Service are not exactly gleaming paragons of virtue.
So you're going for torture. You're going for torture. Oh, just as an aside, I don't think it matters. What if they had to? Because he was hard, he wouldn't break. They tortured his wife or kid or something. Would you go for that?
Again, if I knew 100%, yes, I would.
Okay.
I don't know about that one.
No?
Because they could very well be very innocent people who don't know that this person does what he does. So why should they be punished?
Well, to get the answer out of him,
isn't it? What his actions are.
He's not going to give the answer unless you punish us, unless you make, you give him incentive to...
I'll poke your wife's eyes out there
exactly.
You have to tell me where there is.
Yeah,
I suppose.
I mean, it's still torturing somebody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it, you know... And
so, yeah, again, you know, from the point of view of consistency, yes.
Yes,
for
because
you 100%
you're torturing one
yes,
to
it
save
give
10,000,
the answer,
yeah.
I would do it.
Right, okay, great. I wouldn't torture anybody.
No.
Just for the sake
bloody
of consistency.
Bloody tree-hugging liberal hippie.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, I'm afraid. I think by agreeing
you
to live...
You swamp bee in a previous life.
Hang on, let me explain. I have rationale for everything, okay? I believe as a Western society, by being... fortunate enough to live in such a civilized society that, you know, maybe we have to accept that people may die as a result of our ideals, like freedom of speech and things like that. So, for the sake of consistency, I think that we should
I'm
not torture anybody
you.
At all. So, I condemn torture 100%.
Yes.
And I condemn killing anybody to save other people 100%. Okay.
You're enjoying this.
This is the last one now. At the moment, I probably look like some heartless monster.
You're a robot, John.
I'm a robot.
You're a robot.
You don't look heartless at all.
No.
You just look as if you're thinking, no, it doesn't affect me, then toss. You know,
no,
walk away.
I would be very upset to watch 5 people die or 1 person die. So
I'm sure you'd be just equally upset to watch 10,000 people die.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, from a distance, it's a nuclear bomb.
Did you say it was a nuclear bomb?
Yeah, I did. So.
Then I'd make sure you're a very long way away.
So, and now for the last example of the evening, or on the trolley problem anyway.
Right.
Which is, a tramp walks into the hospital. He's got a bit of a cough or something. It's nothing serious. Doctor takes a look at him. Yeah, you'll be fine. The doctor realises this guy is an identical donor for 5 patients and that if he hacked him up and took his organs, he could save 5 lives.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
No. So let's look at this now. So you got a choice of five people dying or one person dying. But in this case, you would let the five people die and save the one person rather than killing that one person so you can save five other lives.
But what justice have you got to kill that one healthy person? Because he's healthy. He's coming to the hospital with what?
But let's take it right back
to the beginning.
So what justice would you have to kill the one person on the train track?
They were healthy.
They were healthy.
But
and you just saved five lives.
Yeah, but the five lives there were all healthy people. These five people who need the organ donation for whatever reason.
No, but the point is that those five... Take just stripping it back to its absolute bare bones, yeah?
You'd five to one ratio again.
Five people will die, or one person will die. And that's exactly what we're talking about. So even if this tramp walks in and he can save these five people's lives, it is exactly the same scenario as the train tracks, because...
But a doctor would not kill...
Yeah, but that's theoretical.
It's just you
that's
making
the
decision.
Absolutely pure theoretical. So, you know, for me, I absolutely know, definitely not.
But even if people have transplants and they are an exact match, there's no guarantee.
Yeah, but you're looking at it too logically.
Looking at it logically. You're looking at it too deep.
It's exactly the same as the train tracks. Five people will die if they don't have the treatment. One person will die if they take the organs. On the train tracks, five people will die if you don't change a train. One person will die if you do.
The idea is actually the same problem. It's the same problem.
It's the morality.
Just the way it's given to you.
And so the idea is, and so what it's trying to identify is, actually, are we just making decisions based on something quite arbitrary, which is like how emotional we feel about it? Like pushing the guy.
Is what it's saying.
Pushing the guy who is just a fat guy, we all said no. Pushing the guy who's the villain, we all said yes. You didn't.
No, John didn't say yes.
Stephen and I said yes. Mm-hmm. We would torture the one guy to save 10,000, and I'm now in a dilemma of, do I let a doctor kill one person who's got five healthy organs to give these other patients who might then survive?
No, who would then survive. There's no might about it. They would survive.
They would.
There's no theory about it at all. They will survive if they get the organs.
All right.
Because that way, the dilemma is the same in it.
Well, I want your two opinions first, then.
Well, I've given you mine. It's still not at all.
And I could be 100% consistent and say I would not do it. I would not kill that one person.
I don't think that I could either in this instance. To me, there is a moral... There's a difference here, because you not only are you killing the person, you are mutilating them by taking their organs from
them.
But again, you don't go looking into anything into that death. Just look at the surface of the problem.
You're still killing
one person. One person dies, five people live.
But it's just and that's why the whole thing's interesting, is because
you're applying your sense of morality to it.
Yeah.
And you're woefully inconsistent. And I would actually, in reality, be woefully inconsistent. I think everybody is. And I think that the whole idea behind this set of dilemmas is to show that you can't take one kind of rule of thumb and use it.
On every
you say
that
no, because
you look at everything differently each time it's put in front of you, don't you? Even though you say, I think that you change the track to kill the one to save the five. Because it's something you can do, whereas here you are deliberately killing one person to save the five.
When it's the train
on the track, people are going to die anyway, whether it be five
people
or
are gonna
one.
Die, the problem is still the same, because even if it's in the hospital, five people are going to die. If they don't have the transplant, they are going to die.
And he's going to walk back out and still be a tramp and live
and still
off
be
the
fine,
streets. And
which is, again, is kind of irrelevant. Just take out who he is, what he is. Mm. It still comes down to the fact that five people are going to die, one person lives, or
and
one person dies and five people live.
It's when you start maybe trying to put like a value on life, like you just said, oh, he's just a tramp. Perhaps maybe you could just say, well, he's just a tramp, he's not going to do anything, maybe he's worth it.
And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, why do those five people have more value in life than the one person? It's exactly the same thing there.
Yes.
Why would a tramp's life be any less valuable
than the five people
than the
need
five
the
people's
transplant.
Lives and then that sorry then that comes on then to what you were saying, John, earlier about how you wouldn't push the vaudevillian villain off, because actually all life is sacred. So, or you know, not necessarily sacred would be a word which you would use, but all life is to be respected.
Precious is the word.
And precious.
I think if there is anything that I would apply the word sacred to, I think it would be life. So, and the thing is, I have the benefit that considering that I believe that this is the only one life you have, it becomes infinitely valuable. And so it doesn't matter, five times infinity is the same as one times infinity.
Yes, absolutely.
And so perhaps...
So you're not coming back as a ginger cat then?
Well, I tell you what, I wish I'd come back as my ginger cat. He's got a life of Riley.
Your moral dilemma then, John, there is life after death because you come back as a ginger cat.
Unfortunately, wishful thinking doesn't make things come true. So, okay, and that's the highlighting thing. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about, and something maybe you guys don't know a lot about, is the different schools of thought. Now, I've talked to Steve about this before, about utilitarianism,
yeah.
or consequences, as we call it. And in the first instances, it seems to make a lot of sense. You know, a lot of, if you just gave people the first scenario of the track with the five and the one, and you gave them the last scenario, they can answer both questions very quickly, and they feel very sure of their answer, even though it is actually the very same thing.
The fairly same question, yeah.
And so if you were going to be consistent as a utilitarian, saying, well, you've always got to go with the greater good, that is how I've justified killing one person for five.
Then you have to kill the tramp.
Then you would have to condone behaviour like that, of saying, well, as a society, wouldn't it be great if we could just kill people, share their organs out, and more people would benefit? But it's
But
repulsive.
One of those people who benefit could be the villain who started all this off in the first place.
Which again is a consequence, isn't it? Because then the flip side is, if you push the fat villain off the bridge to
stop
the trolley...
You can use his organs to give
them
to people.
But no, if you push the fat villain off the bridge to stop the train, what about his kids? What if the unborn child, which he hasn't had, actually would be the person who cures AIDS, cures cancer,
world peace,
brings about world
thing.
Peace, all that? You know, if you just propagated the
Yeah, but he's mad, and the chances of him having
that's making an assumption, then, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
You know, it's
that's like saying, oh, bad people have bad children. I think you want to avoid things like that. So I just thought it was interesting. There was another school of thought I came across, which was Immanuel Kant. I don't know if you've heard of him.
He's a real pissant, apparently. On the Monty Python theme.
He said that whenever we think, is this moral or not, we should think about it in terms of, if everybody did what I did, what would be the, you know, what would happen? Would it be good or would it be
bad? You just let it go whichever way it was going in the beginning and not do anything about it.
Well, no, like he said, for instance, like theft, okay? So he needed to say, how do we know that nicking stuff is wrong? So he said, well, nicking stuff is taking other people's property. If everybody nicked stuff, there would be no such thing as property. So therefore, you know, there's a contradiction there. It ends in a contradiction. Therefore, it's wrong. And that was, I just thought that was a very interesting way to look at things. Is it any more suit? Does it apply to the problem we got? Would it solve it? No.
Not really, no.
Because that is thinking about maybe your intent maybe has something to do with it. It's not just the consequences of your actions. Maybe your intent. You know, like so you shot somebody, but turned out he was on his way to go and kill the president or
to fire the nuclear bomb off, which is going to kill 10,000 people in Tokyo.
So what happened was you did something immoral, but the consequences were actually good.
You could justify why you did it.
Well, I still think shooting somebody...
No, you can't justify it, but the outcome is positive.
You can give reason then why you thought...
But you didn't shoot...
Right
no, no, you
no, didn't shoot him because... No, you see, you've arbitrarily just randomly shot some guy.
Oh, I see, yeah? Right, okay.
You don't know who this guy is. You've just gone out, bang, shot him. But actually, as it turned out, this guy was a terrorist off to go and blow up a bomb.
All right, so when you shot him, you were just killing somebody.
You were just randomly killing someone.
But it turns out he was going to do this. So therefore, you become a hero.
Yeah. The indirect consequences are that you've just saved 10,000 people's lives, but you've killed one in a random act of violence.
And does the fact that you saved 10,000 people
justify
make what you did moral? No, it doesn't.
No.
There you go. You know, I thought that was quite interesting. Okay, I just wanted to squeeze something extra in as a little surprise for Hazel. She didn't do any
no notes
on
this
it
one.
At all. Okay. It's kind of similar to the organ donation one. So one night, Hazel, you're in bed, okay? And while you're fast asleep, there's a famous jazz player. Millions of people all over the world think, you know, he's amazing, and he slips into a coma. He's got organ failure, and if they don't do something soon, he's going to die. And they think he's the most amazing, and they just can't imagine life without him. So what they do is they break into your house while you're asleep, and they drag you out of your bed, chloroform you or whatever. And you wake up the next morning, and what they've done is they've hooked up all your organs to his.
So they haven't killed me.
No, you're still alive, and he's alive because of you. So they've hooked up all of your vital organs to him. So as long as you're hooked up, okay, he's alive. So, you know, do you think that you have a duty to keep him alive?
So I can't do anything because I have to go everywhere with him.
Okay, let's forget the practicalities of it. Let's just go with how do you feel about the fact, do you think that now you're hooked up to him, that's it, you gotta keep him alive? Or do you think that you should be in your right to say stuff him and then rip out the
Well, if you can carry on a reasonable life and preserve his at the same time, then you can probably think to yourself, yeah, okay, then I'll see how this goes. If at the end of a week you think, oh, no, I'm not having any of this.
You know, at least you're going to be stood next to him at the cash point.
And
I see his
looking.
PIN number, so, you know.
Yeah, well, he's got to have more money than I have, hasn't he? Yeah,
Exactly.
because he's a
Oh, no,
famous
he's a jazz
jazz
player. He doesn't have any money.
player.
So you don't think that you'd be within your right to say, stuff you, and rip out the cord or whatever? It would kill him.
I don't think you could do that straight away. I think, because again, it's the preserving of life thing, isn't it? But I still think that it's totally, I can't think of the word now that's done. It's taking away my human rights then, I think is that the word? Because they have manipulated me totally by just making the decision and asking me
It's impacting
if
your
I'm up for
quality
it.
of life, yeah. It's impacting your quality of life as well,
Right,
yeah.
yeah.
So do you think that you have a moral duty to look after him, or do you think that?
Well, that moral duty was taken away from me making the decision by them hooking me up to him anyway.
Okay.
So that's been taken out of my hands initially.
What do you think, John?
Oh, I was going to go with you first.
No,
no,
you
go on,
first.
You
Personally,
first.
I think you're within your right to just pull out the plug.
You wouldn't give it a couple of days' thought and
Well,
see.
no, unfortunately, that's not part of the experiment. I was only asking you to say, are you now morally obliged to look after him, or
No, you're not really. Because it wasn't you that said in the beginning, yes, hook me up to him because I know I can keep him alive.
okay.
See, I'm gonna challenge John on that, and he's probably ready for the challenge now. But you know, be interested to hear his point, because talk consistency, and you know.
John said he'd pull a plug.
Yeah, but consistent with pushing a man off the bridge to save the greater good, whatever, wouldn't do it because all life is sacred. But knowing that you were going to kill somebody by pulling out the plugs,
Then you're
then
doing.
you're condemning that person.
No, you are right to call me on it 100%. Because in reality, what I went with, if you know what all my answers were, no, I wouldn't do it. I
Yeah,
wouldn't do it. I
because
wouldn't
all
do
life
it.
is sacred.
Because it would lead to. A very untenable thing in my opinion, which is that would mean if I was attacked by someone, I couldn't kill them in self-defense. And I actually believe self-defense is actually a good reason. And so I am not consistent, and that is the absurd thing I'd said in the start. In the end, even though I seemed consistent all the way through that, I would actually then, if I stuck to my guns,
Screw you, pal.
somebody could come and attack me. And if I was to be consistent, I would have to let them kill me
Yeah.
rather than defend myself. And so I think that is ridiculous.
Well, you wouldn't do that, would you? You'd preserve your own life.
Right, and the same thing, I would pull the plug because I don't have a moral obligation. And this is also, and I don't know if you picked up on it, Steve, but this is the argument used against people who think that abortion is wrong, because that's what it is the idea that you have something living off you, and that are you obliged to keep that thing. Most people would say no
Yeah.
to the musician, but a lot of them might say that abortion's wrong.
Yeah.
So,
Basically, for me, my answer would be similar to Hazel, an
which
actual fact,
is
which would
give it a
be
go or
that
something.
I would say, okay, I'm really not happy about what you've done,
Yeah.
but if it's keeping this person alive until they find a donor, fine. But you know, I'd be expecting them to be looking for a donor.
I think this.
So I guess I'd kind of put a time limit on it, sort of thing, you know, which maybe isn't.
You got 7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah. Find me a donut.
Yeah, and this is 527.
Yeah.
Unless he is a rich jazz player, and then you're alright with it.
Yeah. You know, so I think that's.
Sign me over the house. You know, the instruments.
I agree with you. You'd be absolutely within your right to, I think, pull the plug out. But I think, you know, should that crazy situation ever arise, I think, you know, you'd be. I would be inclined, as Hazel, to say, well, actually, okay, you've done it. I'm prolonging that person's life. Okay, as long as I'm not, you know, I'm not dying as a result of it.
Yeah. But it's just about, you know, are we going to say that people have, you know, a human right to their own body? Because that's what you're doing, is you're...
I guess I would be making the choice when I wake up, because I think you have the right, and would be within your right, to pull the plug out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that. But my opinion would
be... You'd give it a go.
I'd give it a go, yeah.
Well, you know, just for the sake of having a bit of fun tonight, I'll let you, you know, go out, work outside of the, you know, the experiment.
Yeah.
Have a bit of fun. Walk around with a jazz player for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't particularly like jazz, to be honest.
No, I don't.
I mean,
if you start playing the trumpet, I just have to pull it out, to be honest.
Who's the young jazz musician?
James Cullum.
Now, if it was him, I could go with that. Johnny Dankworth, no, I couldn't.
No. If he was in a hospital, I'd unplug him from the machine.
See, I wouldn't, because his wife would be coming in to visit us, which is Sophie Dahl.
Ah, you've won me over.
So, Jamie, you can stay alive, that's fine.
As long as I can have Sophie.
Yeah, so in the end, I had to admit that even though I went out of my way to try and be, you know, consistent all the way through, ultimately, with that experiment, all those experiments, you can't be consistent, I don't think. Yeah, I'm going to get that poll working so people can leave, you know, whether we should have Hazel back or not.
Thank you very much, John. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
That's been 2 weeks now since you've promised to put the poll up.
Yeah, I know. I'm shirking it. And it took me a week to edit the last podcast, but sue me, all right? Well, thank you for listening. And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. Brilliant. See you next week.